Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 20. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is it that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." This is the text. Let me set the scene for you. It's Tuesday of Holy Week, and Jesus is at the temple in Jerusalem. He's already had his triumphant entry on Palm Sunday. He's already cleared the money changers out of the temple. The people are excited about him. The religious leaders are frightened that their hold upon the people may soon come to an end if he is a prophet of God, or even worse for them, the actual Messiah. And Jesus stands in the temple courtyard, which he had cleared just the day before, and he tells them a parable which they all perfectly understand. The vineyard has always been the symbol for the nation of Israel. I mean, all throughout the Old Testament, it's a recurring theme. This parable is eerily similar to the Song of the Vineyard from Isaiah chapter 5, where the vineyard is trampled down and destroyed because it yielded only bad fruit. The owner of the vineyard looked for justice, but saw bloodshed. Looked for righteousness, but only heard cries of distress. The owner of the vineyard is, of course, God. He planted it. It was not something that anyone worked for or achieved on their own, you know, by their own doing. He rented it to some farmers, the children of Israel, and he went away. Notice, he rented it to them. God is still the owner. We see how this all played out in the history of the Old Testament. God met with the children of Israel after he brought them out of Egypt, face to face, there on Mount Sinai, gave them his covenant, made this covenant with them that the land of the Canaanites that had been promised to Abraham would be theirs. At no cost to them, a land flowing with milk and honey, cities that were already built, houses that were already there for them to move into, vineyards that were already planted, cultivated, yielding its fruit. All that they had to do was to guard and keep his word, to remain faithful to the one true living God. To act with mercy and justice towards one another. And when they entered this land flowing with milk and honey, this vineyard that God had planted for them, they were to give of the first fruits in thanks to God. This was the agreement between God and the tenants of the vineyard. But the Israelites, having reaped the benefits of living in this vineyard, this land flowing with milk and honey, they chose to ignore their side of the bargain. They chased after other gods, turned a deaf ear to God's word. They worshiped. When they did worship him, they worshiped how they wanted to rather than the way in which God had prescribed. I mean, you read the book of Judges, and there's this constant condemnation of the people. Repeatedly, it just says again and again, in those days, everyone did as he saw fit. And beyond that, they became lovers of money. Their mouths were filled with gossip and lies. They entered into all sorts of shameful activities. Sounds a lot like our world today. When the Lord sent his servants, his prophets, to the people of the vineyard, they refused to offer thanks to the Lord for all that they had been given. They mocked, beat, even killed the prophets of God, which caused Jesus, as he's leaving the temple later that day, to say words that were actually our gospel reading a couple weeks ago, where he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate." We are now the tenants of the vineyard. God has given it to others, as Jesus said he would. God has established a new and better covenant. The curtain has been torn in two. We have something new. God is making all things new, as he promised. Jesus is established now as the new temple. We are the new Israel. We are the sons of Abraham, for we share the faith of Abraham, and therefore also his inheritance. We are members of the body of Christ, as Scripture says. And we hear in Philippians how all this comes about. It says, "Christ Jesus has made me his own." Everything that we have within our life in the vineyard, within the church, within the kingdom of God, it's not anything that we have worked for or deserved. What we have is an absolute gift. We did not have to lift a finger to become a child of God. We were blessed to have a baptism last night. What a great reminder it was as to how it is God who makes us his children. And it's not anything that we do or a confession that we make. Now, certainly next week, as we have some three young members of our congregation who will confirm the faith of their baptism, they will speak the words for themselves that their sponsor spoke to them many years ago. But it is God who has created faith. It is God who creates the faith that those people will confess. It is God who creates the faith that we confess as we gather together here this morning. We come together and look to God, and we can see that life in the vineyard is good. And we return thanks to God for all that he has done, especially in sending that one final prophet who would die at Jerusalem. The children of Israel did not understand or appreciate how good life is within the vineyard. And it was torn away from them. As you may well imagine, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they did not appreciate Jesus' parable of prophecy here, predicting their imminent demise, the stripping away of the vineyard, Israel, from the Jews. And then he further infuriates the Jewish leaders with this question concerning a passage from Psalm 118, where he refers to himself as the cornerstone which the builders rejected. Now, Jesus doesn't give a direct answer to the question that he poses. You know, what then is this that the builders have rejected? What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Now, Jesus does not give any direct answer because the events of the next few days are going to provide the answer. But he does let the people know that there are only two options for the person, for anyone in regard to that cornerstone, and everyone is going to have to deal with the cornerstone, who is the Son of God. He says everyone will be broken or crushed. There is no other option. Those who are his disciples, you and me, we must fall into the brokenness of repentance, which is why every time we gather together, we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess all of my sins, and I deserve temporal, that is right now, punishment and eternal punishment. I deserve death and hell. What I deserve, what we all deserve. But God has chosen to make all things new. As Paul says, that forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. That's what we do as the people of God. That's what forgiveness is. That's what life in Christ is about. Christ has taken care of what has gone on in the past. He's covered it. He's covered our sins of the future also. We strain forward, focusing on the cross of Christ and his empty grave. That is what we have. That is how he has made all things new. Jesus says, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. We are broken because of our sin, because of our connection with Adam, because of how we're born, because we need baptism. We need constant care. Paul describes us as being jars of clay. Luther explains in his catechism that part of our baptismal life is a daily dying and rising. Every day, our old Adam drowns and dies. Every day we rise up as the new man, as Luther says, in Christ. David wrote in the Psalms, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God's law breaks us into pieces. And then in his mercy, raises us up as living stones in Christ, as part of the new temple. I know that we all wish that life within the vineyard, life within Christ Church, was all flowers and sunshine. But our calling is one of daily contrition and repentance. We are broken, but we are not crushed. The bad news is, for those who reject the message of the gospel, for the unbeliever, for the unrepentant, for the one who wants to deal with God in his own way and be like the Israelites in the days of the judges, where everyone does as he sees fit, Christ comes with this crushing blow of judgment. It is good to simply be broken. Our salvation is filled with great irony. We only have life because the author of life died. And through our own suffering and pain in this sinful world, Scripture says we are given the strength to persevere. James, the brother of our Lord, talks of our pain and trials and says, consider it pure joy, the testing of your faith. It builds perseverance, and that perseverance will see you through to the end. That is a message that is hard for us to want to hear. Through our jars of clay being broken, upon the rock of Christ, the potter molds a new and better creation. Out of once sinful shards of worthless pottery, God has built his church, and Christ is the cornerstone. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.